to order, and it is April 16th. And welcome, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and open the public hearing on all four of the bills. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2872, 2873, 3189, and 2482. And Judith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. These are all related to the use of mobile communication devices. Our first bill, HB 2872, would create a Class B traffic violation. That violation carries a fine of up to $360 if a person is using a mobile communication device while operating a motor vehicle on the highway and is not using a hands-free accessory. We do have exemptions for persons operating an emergency vehicle as well as those persons summoning medical or other emergency help. You do have before you the Dash 1 amendments that adds an exemption for a person using a two-way communication device designed to receive and transmit voice communication that cannot send and receive voice communication simultaneously. House Bill, moving on to House Bill 2873, that would create a Class D traffic violation only for those persons under the age of 21 using a mobile communication device while driving a motor vehicle on the highway. That penalty is $90. It would have similar exemptions, and all these bills do, for a person operating an emergency vehicle or a person summoning a medical or emergency help. Again, these the Dash 1 amendments for 2873 are worded exactly the same as the previous Dash 1 amendments, that is having another exemption for a person using a communication device such as a CB radio. Then we have House Bill 3189 creating a similar Class D traffic violation. Again, that penalty is the $90 fine, and that's for persons under the age of 18 driving and using a mobile communication device. And then finally, the iteration for House Bill 2482 brings it back up to a Class D traffic violation. I should say down to a traffic Class D traffic violation. Again, the $90 fine with the exemptions that I had mentioned previously. We are still waiting on fiscals and revenues for all four of the measures. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Judith. Would Representative McPherson come up, and Rachel, and I'm not going to get the name right, so you can let us know.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm State Representative Greg McPherson, representing House District 38, which is Lake Oswego and part of Southwest Portland. And I'd like to set the stage a bit for the subject matter for today by describing something that happened here in our state last May. It was the day after Memorial Day, a Tuesday, which was beautiful weather throughout Oregon. Family member, in fact, Rachel's father, was out for a bicycle ride from his home in Medford, and was cycling south through Phoenix, which is a few miles south of Medford. And he was proceeding on a road approaching an intersection lawfully within the lane of traffic when suddenly Jeep Cherokee cut the corner coming from the at a perpendicular angle across his path of that he was proceeding on, and hit him full force, and he suffered very serious injuries. And it was determined later that the driver of that Jeep Cherokee is an 18-year-old who was holding a handheld cell phone to his ear, and he was 7 minutes in to a cell phone conversation with a friend. It was a social conversation. As a result of that event, Russ suffered, as I said, very grievous injuries. So that caused my to take an interest in what are the safety aspects of cell phone use while driving in Oregon, or are the things that we ought to be doing with respect to it. What I'd like to do now, if I could come back and talk about these bills a little bit more after this presentation, I'd like to introduce Rachel and have her describe this event from her perspective, and then we have Meg Rollins, who is the victim's wife, on the phone as well, and she could describe her experience as well.
Rachel. My name is Rachel Hurtometkin, and I live in Salem, Oregon. I'm here to testify in favor of the bills before you today. Last May, my father, Russ Rudometkin, was out for a bicycle ride when he was struck and critically injured by a Jeep. My dad is a responsible cyclist and was following the traffic rules, but there was no way for him to avoid this collision. The Jeep's driver was too busy chatting with a friend on his cell phone to watch where he was going. He veered into my dad's lane and hit him head on. My dad almost died. He had severe head injuries and spent a month in a coma. He endured multiple surgeries and months of rehabilitation. He is still struggling with cognitive and physical problems from the collision. Before the collision, my dad was a lifelong athlete. He loved distance running, cycling, and swimming. At age 57, he still regularly competed in triathlons. When he was younger, he played football, rugby, and soccer. He also enjoyed his job as a state social worker, in which he worked to help children and families. Now my dad can't work, he can't drive, he can no longer participate in triathlons or do the other physical activities he once enjoyed. From the moment that Jeep veered out of his lane, his whole life changed. Nothing that driver was talking about on his cell phone was worth my dad's life, or the pain this tragedy has caused him and our family. I urge you to help prevent other families from going through what my dad and my family have gone through this year. I urge you to pass this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
We could then go to Meg Rollins now, Madam Chair, if that's all right.
All right. Meg, would you like to go ahead?
Yes, thank you. Chair, my name is Margaret Rollins. I live in Medford, Oregon. Chair Beyer and members of the committee, I'm speaking in support of Bill 2873. As Greg pretty well summed up, you now know what happened to my husband on May 30th. And I just want to add a few things. My husband was wearing his helmet, as he always does, and the accident occurred at 6:10 p.m. when there was plenty of daylight. The injuries to him were severe and resulted in a traumatic brain injury that will have lifelong effects. Russ was in intensive care for 5 weeks and in a coma for 3 of those weeks. During that time, he underwent 3 major surgeries. Traumatic brain injury manifests differently in every individual. In my husband's case, he looks fine, but he has short-term memory deficits, problems with planning, initiation, and organization. These deficits mean his return to work is, as his neuropsychologist put it, unlikely. None of his professional care providers think it is safe for him to drive yet. He's 58 years old now and worked as a social worker for child welfare. He did love his job and was good at it. He's home now, and I'm grateful, but in many ways I'm learning to live with a different man. We lost our marriage as we knew it. I'm asking you, members of the committee, to pass House Bill 2873. You've heard my personal reason for this request, but there are other reasons as well. A study by David Strayer et al. From University of Utah concludes when driving conditions and time on task were controlled for, the impairments associated with using a cell phone while driving can be as profound as those associated with driving while drunk. Oregon has laws protecting citizens from drivers under the influence of drugs and alcohol. Therefore, it follows we should have laws governing cell phone use when driving. 6 states now have bans on cell phone use while driving, including Washington State and California. This puts Oregon in the unique position of being able to make the entire I-5 corridor from Mexico to Canada safer for all who travel it. That can start here with you, the committee members. There's no way to turn back the clock and see what would have happened that day in May if the driver had not been using his cell phone. But I am convinced this tragedy could have been avoided. It happened to us, and it will certainly happen again if this bill does not pass. When the next accident does occur, it might be your family member or your friend who is involved. It might be you. Members of the committee, you can take steps today that will lead to safer travel for all users of Oregon roads, whether they drive, bicycle, or walk. I implore you to pass Bill 2873. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I'm happy to take any questions if you have some.
Thank you. The first thing I need to say is that I forgot to mention this earlier, is to make sure that all your cell phones and Blackberries are turned off, because it might interfere with the recording. So with that in mind, colleagues, any questions? Representative Buckley.
Well, first of all, I'd just like to express my sorrow for the family for the accident. I know the intersection where it occurred. And very sorry that it happened to your dad. Representative McPherson, there's a letter here from the Oregon Student Association that brings up the point that this might be discriminatory, given that it only targets drivers under the age of 21 years of age. Would you be open to a possible amendment that would make this to be for the first X number of years of anyone who begins driving in the state of Oregon?
Chair Beyer, Representative Buckley, I think that reasonable modifications that would address the period of inexperience would be appropriate. What I'd like to do is to circle back with some comments about the structure of the two bills that I introduced, if I could, Madam Chair, to sort of introduce the direction I'm suggesting we go with this. There's mounting evidence that cell phone use impairs a motorist's ability to drive safely. There's one recent study that by the University of Utah that concluded that a driver using a cell phone can be as dangerous as a drunk driver. I think there was an earlier reference to that. There are three handouts that I've circulated here. You should have copies of two of them from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, and another a chart which shows the status of laws in other states that restricting cell phone use while driving. And let you look at those at your leisure. But they generally focus on two ways of getting at this problem. One of them is the tendency for people to be holding cell phones to their ear, so that in addition to whatever distraction there is in having the conversation with somebody who is not in the car, they are also having to fumble with that piece of equipment. And so the House Bill 2872 would require hands-free for all drivers. And that is a requirement that has been enacted in a number of states as something of a compromise, I would characterize it as, because there is some evidence that suggests that it doesn't make a lot of difference whether a person is on a hands-free or hand-holding a cell phone as to the amount of safety that's achieved. But this is a way of striking a balance between the needs of those people who feel they need to have a conversation while they're in their cars in order to earn a living, for example, and trying to make it maybe less attractive for people who are engaging just in social chit-chat. Now, I myself have become a religious user of hands-free equipment, and I'll show you. I have an earplug here that I acquired some months ago from the local shop in downtown Portland, which handles my cell phone service, and it fits into my ear just like this. And when I'm going to be talking on the phone, I drive and talk on the phone. So what I do is I plug this device into the side of my phone, and then I can talk, and it's really not an encumbrance. It works pretty well. And this device, unlike some of the very expensive wireless technologies, costs $30 at that shop in downtown Portland. My guess is if you found it at a discount store, you'd probably get a better deal than that even. So it's not extremely expensive equipment to purchase. And as compared to monthly charges that run $40, $50, $60 a month, that's a pretty modest cost for those people who want to have the convenience of using a cell phone while they're driving. So that's the thrust of House Bill 2872, is to require that people use hands-free equipment so at least they don't have the extra encumbrance of fumbling with a phone and holding it to their ear. And I think it would have another desirable impact, which is that it would make the act of talking on the telephone while driving a more considered act. Instead of sort of hearing your phone ring in your back pocket or in your purse and fumbling around while driving to pull it out and answer it, a person would have prepared to have that conversation. They would have decided, I'm expecting to receive a call, or I'm going to make an outgoing call, and so I'll put this earphone on so that I'm ready for that. That will limit the amount of time that people are using a cell phone while they're driving, and it will also underscore the importance of the fact that they're combining two actions which may be in conflict with each other. The second bill is the bill that Representative Buckley referred to, which is a restriction on young drivers. And this proposal arises out of the reality, and I think it's one of those things that just doesn't need proof because we all know it from our own experience, that young drivers have more accidents than older drivers. Driving safely is a learned experience, one that was learned over time, and by preventing young people from using a cell phone while driving, it will allow them to gain that experience that they need to be able to manage the equipment safely. In the particular instance involving Rachel's father, this was an 18-year-old who was talking with a friend. Now, it was, I don't begrudge anybody the opportunity to have social conversation, but it's at a stage in life when very few people are going to need that for their occupation. And should we be having young people who are proven to be less safe drivers because they haven't really learned all the skills of the road, should we be having them trying to manage this technology as well? It's apparent that young people today use cell phones a lot, and the combination of inexperience and cell phones can be tragic and even lethal. So that gives you kind of the fuller background for the two proposals that I brought forward. You have a couple of other variations in the other bills. And to get back to your question, Representative Buckley, if there's some reasonable variation on the structure of these proposals, I'm certainly open to it. You may notice that in the two bills that I introduced, along with Representative Esquivel, that the one of them is a Class B and the other a Class D traffic violation, that is the young drivers is Class D. I really intended out of reflection that it should be a Class D. I don't think we need to hit this with a major fine. It's just I think we need to start communicating to the public that this is a troublesome thing that people are doing and they need to be more disciplined about how they do it. So now I'll open up for any questions the committee might have.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ma'am, my heart truly, truly goes out to you and to your family. And what an unfortunate incident. I feel bad that has occurred. Representative McPherson, what I'm struggling with is I think cell phones and their safety are a microcosm of a greater issue. And that are, what are the overall safety aspects of driving? I'm struggling because I think it's very easy for this body to identify cell phones as the issue that causes the greatest amount of recklessness in driving, when in reality I think we can make the argument that perhaps eating in our vehicle or doing our hair or reading the paper all are issues that result in tragedies on a daily basis. I'm not sure how this piece of legislation or the pieces of legislation that you've introduced deal with that greater overall issue of how do we encourage Oregonians to be safer when they drive. Can you help me work through this?
I'd be happy to. Chair Beyer, Representative Smith. This is not to suggest that there shouldn't be other attention paid to other distractions that people experience while they're driving. And there are proposals that have been brought forward in this legislative session to deal with those other distractions. But what I would say about cell phone use is that there is now a body of evidence, as reflected in these Insurance Institute documents that I've passed out, that specifically identifies a greater risk as a result of this activity. And I think the fact that there are other hazards out there shouldn't persuade us not to deal with a particular hazard that we can identify an issue with and proceed on.
Follow-up question, if I may. Would I be able to dial my mobile communication device while I'm driving?
Chair Beyer, Representative Smith, there's nothing about this bill that would prohibit the dialing of a cell phone, as long as it is not a handheld that is held to the ear it would then be within this what is permissible even if House Bill 2872 were enacted.
And I assume that I'd be able to answer it as well.
Yes.
My experience has been when I drive, the greatest amount of attention that is required isn't in the per se the speaking on the phone, but it's the pulling it out and on those little numbers trying to figure out how to dial it. And so again, I struggle with these pieces of legislation, in that if we're going to worry about the safety components of driving, perhaps we ought to look at the issue in its entirety and say all cell phone use, particularly the driving and trying to get the right number in, ought to be banned as well.
Chair Beyer, Representative Smith, and I see the concern, and that's why I brought forward two pieces of legislation, one of which deals with hands-free, and I think there are a set of issues about that, and it is trying to strike the balance between allowing the traveling public to accomplish things in their lives, particularly in their businesses that they need to accomplish, but still try to manage that activity in a way that it doesn't put others at serious risk. With respect to a ban, I would then urge you to focus in on House Bill 2873, which is a complete ban for young drivers. It happens to use the age of 21, which is kind of I picked that as being a balance between the time when a young driver first starts to drive, can get licensed at 16, and age 25, which is the break point that is used by most insurance companies based on crash statistics. So it's sort of midway between those two dates, and it will not restrict very many people who are using a cell phone in their work, which is, I think, an important consideration, that for the effectiveness of commerce and for people to earn the living that they go out and work hard to do, that they not be unreasonably restricted in accomplishing that.
Just one follow-up question, if I may. Thank you, Madam Chair. Currently in statute, we have laws that prohibit impaired driving. We have statutes on the books that prohibit recklessness. We have laws on the books that prohibit negligence. Why don't those meet our needs?
Chair Beyer, Representative Smith, I'd like to go back to the case of Russ Rudometkin, whose case was referred to the Jackson County District Attorney for consideration as to whether something criminal had happened, and he considered for some months whether that conduct amounted to reckless driving. And in the end, he concluded it did not, and in the statement he released when he announced that decision, he noted that it is a very common activity and entirely legal to talk on a cell phone in Oregon while driving. And so he found that it was not criminal recklessness on the part of that young driver to be doing so. So I think one of the consequences of putting this prohibition in place, particularly for young drivers, is that a young driver who then is doing that, engaging in that activity, and then causes a crash will probably be acting recklessly under the general standard applicable to reckless driving.
Madam, I just want to say one more time, my heart truly goes out to you and to your family. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Butler.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And Rachel, thank you for bringing your story in. Representative McPherson, thank you. And I do want to say that probably not being prepared for a telephone call as you're driving down the road where, in most cases, where I live, you don't have cell coverage. And all of a sudden, the phone's ringing, wherever it's at. And I recognize that I don't have my hands-free device plugged in. And that's disconcerting. And so I appreciate your comment that if we're going to be involved in commerce and to be effective, we need to be prepared for it. So I did want to ask you about this device that you use for your ear. You said you bought it a few months ago. What did you do before then?
Chair Beyer, Representative Butler, this is my second hands-free device. I started using another model of one about a year ago, after I actually a little before this incident that has gotten my attention focused on it. But I have to say, I am a regular user of cell phones while driving. It is a great efficiency to be able to use that time to get things that are important to be done, particularly in legislative matters, done while driving. So it's not as though I think we should be, I'm proposing that we should do away with all cell phone use while driving. I think it should be managed, though, in a way that improves the safety of the traveling public. And I would say I have that this at times my cell phone will ring where it's sitting in my briefcase or in a pocket, and I don't have my hands free, and I just have to discipline myself to say no, that I'll pick that up in voicemail in a few minutes and call that person back. Or if I need to make an outgoing call, I'll pull over in the rest area, or I'll pull off in the next intersection and get set up to make the call. And I find actually that works pretty well. It's kind of surprising that there really aren't that many times when you really have to take that call at that particular moment.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions? I guess one thing I would add is that I've looked through all this information, and I've gotten some other, someone gave me a bibliography of cell phone driving studies, that there were a couple interesting things that they said was that a cell phone induced impairments were equivalent for younger and older adults, suggesting that older adults do not suffer a significantly greater penalty for talking on a cell phone while driving than their younger counterparts. And then it says the net effect of having younger drivers converse on a cell phone was to make their braking reactions equivalent to those of older drivers who were not using a cell phone. I guess what they're saying is that our reflexes must not be so good as we get older. A number of states have gone to the learner's, prohibiting it for learner's permits and provisional licenses. And what would be your feedback on that?
Chair Beyer, thank you for offering up that suggestion. I had considered having House Bill 2873 focused just on provisional drivers, who are drivers who are within their first 2 years after they get their initial license. That much in itself would be a good thing to do. But when I looked at the crash statistics that run until middle 20s, that's when the break point is, when people have gotten sufficient experience that they become just inherently safer drivers because they've been on the road a number of years, they are more intuitive about the hazards that are out there along the roadway. I think that going only for those first 2 years would not provide the degree of safety that we ought to be achieving. I have no doubt that a typical 18-year-old is probably better at multitasking, at dividing their attention, than somebody in their middle 50s is, as I am. The lack of experience that they have on the roadway of, anticipating the things that are going on out there and the hazards that are coming at them, those are things you absorb over many years of being a driver. And I think that, so what we're doing is we're adding an impairment that may be the same impairment for everyone, but that young driver isn't starting with the same base of skill and experience that an older driver is. So I think it makes sense, even if the degree of impairment is no greater for the young driver, I think it makes sense to say that's just an extra thing that young driver shouldn't be trying to do. They should be paying attention to what's going on, along the roadway and not trying to talk on a phone or, as I'm told by some people, text messaging their friends while they're driving.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to present.
Bob Russell. I can bring up Al Elkins and Campbell while you're at it. You want to just come on up?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bob Russell, president of the Oregon Trucking Associations, and I really want to express my appreciation for taking me out of order. So I have another hearing down in Ways and Means where I'm supposed to testify at the same time. There are only two of these bills that are of any concern to my members, and they're the ones without age limits, because all of my members are much older than that. The two that I'm concerned about are 2872 and 2482. Let me say that the number one priority to the Oregon Trucking Associations is highway safety, and we would not advocate anything that would compromise safety on our highways. What I'm here to do is to support the Dash 1 amendments that Administrator Collins mentioned earlier, and that would allow someone to use a radio instead of a cell phone. And the reason that I'm requesting that is we don't believe that that is offers the same level of a distraction, because you're not dialing anything. Most often, the microphone is hanging up where the driver never loses eye contact with the road, and it just doesn't represent the same level of distraction, and it is very prevalent in my industry and a very necessary part of our business. So with those amendments, I would support whatever action the committee would like to take on any of these bills.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, for the record, Al Elkins with the Oregon Tow Truck Association. I, too, am here today to speak to 2482 and 2872. Our concern, along with Mr. Russell, has to do with the mobile communication device. We use a lot of the two-way radios and handheld radios on our business, and we would welcome also the Dash 1 amendments that would allow us to use that mobile communication device two-way. And that concludes my testimony.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Craig Campbell. I'm in a bizarre situation here representing four and perhaps even five different clients, AAA, General Motors, Motorola, the Association of Oregon Loggers, and Pacific Corps. I have drafted some amendments based upon language that was provided on the Senate side. What these amendments do is they provide what the Dash 1 amendments have already provided for, which is the ability to use a two-way communication device that's essentially a press and talk release to hear, which is used by most of your vehicles that are responsible for doing things like restoring power during storms, doing utility work, cabs, bus travel, and so forth. In addition, the amendments also provide for the use of a cell phone within the scope of the use of the vehicle. The situation we have there is specific to AAA, where you have a tow truck where often a dispatch between the tow truck and the dispatcher can be via the press and talk device, but oftentimes the tow truck driver is trying to find the person who needs to have the tow and will often have to communicate with them via a cell phone. So as a result, there are certain circumstances, and I'm sure you can come up with others, where providing a work-related use of a cell phone makes good sense. I would be remiss if I didn't indicate that AAA has in the past supported legislation that has been used to try to protect those drivers who are 18 and under. The graduated driver's license was something that AAA was very much in favor of, largely because there is an experience about those who are driving at a younger age. It takes them a while before they're in a position where they're fully conscious of all the responsibilities that are theirs as they start to drive. And other than that, I hope that the amendments that it provided will make sense and will be helpful to the committee. And I'll answer any questions if there are any.
Thank you. Any questions for Representative Butler?
Madam Chair, it just seems to me that there's a whole plethora of an eclectic group of different kinds of folks that are going to be using different kinds of radios and different kinds of communication devices. I noticed that Mr. Campbell is also on behalf of General Motors, and they have built-in devices where you reach up and push a button on your rearview mirror, and it's all at that point it's all voice activated from beginning to end of conversation until you say goodbye. We just came from a meeting where we were talking about state police, and I did a drive along with the state police, and he's running two different complete radio systems as well as checking radar, and then he receives a cell call from another police officer where they talk about some other quasi police related business, if I could. At any rate, I'm wondering now, are we going to have to exempt, and I realize that's an emergency vehicle, but it is an emergency situation. Police vehicles go really, really, really fast, but unless they're in a hot pursuit, they should go the same speed as everybody else and do the kinds of things. I mean, duty bound to do that. So I guess I need to know where this thing starts and where it stops. I can think of dispatching and Al Elkins representing a group of folks with tow trucks. I can think of dispatching in emergency situations, other folks routing traffic, including commercial traffic through various kinds of situations where they need to be in communication with that traffic on our highways. So I'd surely want a clear cut idea as to where we're going to end up on this whole process. And if by the time we're done, we do not have the same kinds of level of sanctions for eating a burger, fries, and a drink, a fast drink, that we have for carrying on a telephone communication call, I guess without a hands-free device, then I think there's probably something wrong with the process. So just get that in the record.
Thank you, Representative Butler. I'm hoping that that police officer was not doing all of that at the same time he was driving.
I will say this. Those folks are very, very well trained. That's all there is to it. And he did multitask, but he did each one of the things. He did them each individually, but as Representative McPherson indicated, he was prepared before he started off. He knew exactly where his cell phone was and how to respond to a cell call. He knew exactly how to use his radio, and we did get into a hot pursuit while we were together. And in that process, was able to bring in through the radio systems, which were in his vehicle, multiple radio devices as well as the cell were all very important in that process. Now, at that point, it's an emergency vehicle, so I have no question about that.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Troy Costales and Roger Martin, want to come up? Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Ms. Collins. My name is Troy Costales, manager of the Safety Division for the Oregon Department of Transportation. Given that I have five handouts, would actually, if you'd like to defer for a second until you have those in front of you to address my points, if you'd like, and
okay. Let
Mr. Martin go first.
Madam Chair, my name is Roger Martin. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Transit Association. Somebody mentioned senior drivers. I'm not here to give personal testimony. I have similar comments on behalf of the bus operators in Oregon, and I passed out some photographs. These are from Lane Transit, and they show the kind of communication devices that are in our buses. Bus drivers are trained. It goes to the same kind of thing that was mentioned earlier. But it is vital that drivers of buses be able to communicate with their dispatcher and with others for a lot of the reasons that have been mentioned, and I think Representative Butler mentioned them very well. We need to communicate lost and found. A perfect example happened last week or a week before here in Salem. A Amber Alert went out. A woman had lost her 5-year-old daughter at a bus center. And the message went out to all the drivers, have you seen this child? Did it get on another bus? So forth. They were apparently able to successfully locate the child. But it was important that that be communicated. Most of these buses have two-way radio systems, but some have, just as it was pointed out by Representative Butler, have cell phones. And in rural Oregon, the areas that you represent from the rural parts of the state, many of the senior disabled drivers use only cell phone communication, and it's important that they be able to communicate both with where they're going and who they're picking up. So we testified in the Senate. We hope when you work on these bills, we're not opposed to the bills and the idea of the safety, but we do want you to put an exemption in for these kind of circumstances. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Troy Costales with ODOT. First to address House Bill 2872 and 2482, similar to the testimony Mr. Martin provided as well as those earlier on the first group. We have situations within the highway side of ODOT where we have maintenance vehicles, emergency response vehicles that are out there that use various means of communication. And get to the bottom line of this, that either these vehicles need to be retrofitted or if there's a no-cost option to look at, such as the Dash 1 amendment that allows these types of vehicles to be able to operate. And there's a picture of a situation very often where they're communicating with each other when you've got multiple snowplows lined up with one another. And I think most everybody here gets that. So I'll leave those two bills straight up, basically, with the earlier testimony as well. 2873, which is the bill dealing with 21 and under, within the highway program, it's not very often where there's somebody of that age involved in operating one of these vehicles that we're talking about and what the picture depicts. So this would be a change in practice within the highway maintenance program in order to put individuals behind the wheel that aren't dealing with the age restriction if they're ever going to have a situation for the need to have to communicate with dispatch or with other vehicles that are out there. And then to change gears just a little bit, and that's to House Bill 3189, which is the one with the 18-year age link. One of the things I thought you might find interesting is as close to here as we could get, and that is within King County, the Seattle area around Washington, a recent survey where 70% of teens reported that they were using their cell phones and text messaging with frequency while they were driving. And as Representative McPherson noted and others here have noted in the committee, that we put in a graduate driver licensing system for 16 and 17-year-olds. And we've gone from 1,200 times when a young driver, 16-year-old, is behind the wheel and someone's killed or injured, down to 656 last year. It's about a 45% reduction. And around the GDL, the whole idea there is to restrict their driving time and to restrict the distractions. It's under that type of notion that the National Transportation Safety Board, most commonly known as the group that goes investigates plane crashes or ferry crashes, they also investigate traffic crashes. In 2002, they investigated a crash that was involving a young driver on a cell phone. In 2003, and then again in 2005, the National Transportation Safety Board issued a most wanted list for this type of a restriction on cell phone use for the provisional license holders, because they too see the need to lessen the distractions in order to give that new driver the best opportunity to learn as best habits as they can, instead of trying to retrain them at 25, 35, 45, or 55 to get them to do safe behaviors. And so one of the attachments or one of the reports that you have in your stack is just the clip out of their overall most wanted list, which indicates their request of H03-8, which is to ask states to consider promoting youth highway safety by adding a ban on cell phone use for those under the provisional license area. And with that, Madam Chair, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that the committee may have.
Thank you. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did receive some information from a constituent that asked a specific question about a ham radio operation. The ham radio operation, and I guess I didn't realize that was going on as much in automobiles as it is. Those folks stay in touch with both weather and traffic conditions for hundreds of miles and communicate that information back and forth. And while they are not emergency vehicles, they provide a great resource to the Department of Transportation and other folks. So at some point, that probably needs to be put into the blend here. Thank you.
Representative Smith. Thank you, Madam Chair. Roger, with a little bit of sarcasm in my voice, are your bus drivers less safe after they quit driving at the end of the day and go home?
I'm not sure. Madam Chair, Representative Smith, I'm not sure I can answer that question. I don't think so, but... My guess would be that they're trained drivers. Safety is one of the things they have to pay attention to.
I guess I facetiously asked that question, and if Mr. Russell is here, I would have asked the same question of him. I think in the state of Oregon, we have a lot of trained drivers on the road, a lot of good drivers who operate their vehicles in a safe and efficient manner. In my view, we're about to penalize all of those safe and efficient drivers and lump them in with a handful of individuals who have chosen to perhaps drive recklessly. And I'm not looking for a response. I'm just sharing this with you. Madam Chair, in my view, I think cell phones are a microcosm of a greater issue. I think we ought to amend these bills out and create a distracted driver bill that would allow us to look at people who are eating their Big Mac, their fries, and reading a book at the same time, those people who are trying to text message, looking at those folks, those people who are putting on their eye makeup in driving. For some reason, cell phones have become an item to target when I think there's many, many other issues out there that cause hazards on the road. And well, I don't think I'll get what I want. I truly think we ought to be looking at a distracted driver ticket, not a ban on cell phones. Thank you.
Thank you. I do want to remind the committee that we actually did have a hearing on a distracted driver bill. But
Smith was distracted then.
I guess
distracted.
So.
It was on my cell phone.
Troy, I guess I have a couple questions. I know that the data, do we have accurate data on cell phone use and accidents? Is it always clear that a person is on a cell phone or not when there's an accident?
Madam Chair, in 1997, the state of Oregon added to the citizen crash report form that drivers fill out, as well as to the police crash form that law enforcement fills out, the ability to mark cell phone use by the driver. In 1997, the choice was to only record those crashes where law enforcement indicates cell phone was used or the driver admits it, not to have in the data set, I thought the other driver was on their phone and mark that down more or less like around hearsay. So up until 2003, the only data that was in the system was law enforcement verified or the driver admits it. And I can give you 2001, 2, and 3, and I'll read those numbers to you as far as what the crash numbers were, 2001, 2, and 3. In 2001, there were 99 crashes indicating where there was cell phone used. Out of those 99 crashes, 50 involved injuries, 2 involved fatalities, which then there were 2 fatals. In 2002, there were 80 crashes indicating by the driver or law enforcement cell phone was used. 43 crashes resulted in injury. 2 were fatality, in which there were 6 fatals. This is meaning that there were multiple fatals.
Madam Chair, I want to make sure if we're going to use statistics that we use them in their proper frame of reference, and that's with how many people on the road.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, I'll get to that towards the end to tell you what the average is.
Okay.
Out of
so
total.
We'll bring it all together, to Madam Chair, if I may. So we'll know the total number of drivers on the road. Okay.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, correct.
And Madam Chair, if we could, it's not just the drivers on the road. It's the fact that over this last 6 years, the total amount of cell time has doubled. And so whatever you got from 2001 to 2007, you have to take that by one half before, because you got twice as much time being spent on the cell time now.
Twice the
danger, if you will.
Then in 2003, 201 were total, 108 involved injuries, 0 involved fatalities. It was at this time that the policy choice switched because there was more and more questions. The legislative body had now been debating some of these things, so it then started to track when there was an indication that another driver was on a cell phone, and they started to track that as well. That's why the numbers start to jump in 3, 4, and 5. 2004 was 173 total crashes, 114 involved injuries, one fatal with one fatality. And the last year we have on record, 2005, 234 total crashes, 139 involving injuries, and five involving fatalities with five fatals. To put it in frame of reference, during those 5 years, we averaged 48,000 crashes reported each year. So it is less than 1% of what we're dealing with as far as the numbers here. On average, around 400 fatal crashes, and the fatal crashes between we're starting back in time, 2, 2, 0, 1, and 5, and there's 400 fatal crashes on average each of those years, 450 fatalities each year by all sorts of means. In the same time, we've seen vehicle miles traveled increase 2%, roughly 1.5%, 2% each year over those 5 years, and the number of vehicles on the road also increasing each and every one of those years, too. So hopefully, Madam Chair and Representative Smith, the questions that you were asking as far as what's at least the crash stats say for what's been reported by law enforcement or drivers of the state.
Troy, also, not that I want numbers, but do you keep numbers in the age brackets when you're keeping these statistics?
Madam Chair, we do keep by driver age, but at this, I don't have that information in front of me.
Okay. And no other questions? Thank you. I have Steve Buckstein and Brian Burke.
Good afternoon, Chair Beyer and members of the committee. My name is Steve Buckstein. I'm Senior Policy Analyst and founder of Cascade Policy Institute in Portland. We're a think tank that promotes individual liberty, personal responsibility, and economic opportunity in Oregon. And I'm here to question the necessity and effectiveness of all of the bills before you today. I think, as you've heard and you will hear, everyone agrees that cell phones have opened up wonderful benefits for our society, and they've also opened up some risks, which you've heard about. But unfortunately, politics, what you're here to do today, or to think about today, is not a good tool for weighing those risks and rewards. I'm reminded of another hearing in this building in July of 1995 that I attended. It was the House Interim Task Force on Light Rail, and it heard from an economist that at that time new transponder technology, not cell phones, but transponder technology, would be a better and cheaper way to reduce traffic congestion than building an expensive light rail line. He was brought up short, however, by the co-chair of the committee, the task force, which was Neil Goldschmidt, who told him, quote, "Professor, the technology is way ahead of the politics here," unquote. And I'm afraid that we have the same problem today, that technology is moving very rapidly, whether it's cell phones, text messaging, radios, whatever it is, but our political system is not designed to keep pace. It's a much slower deliberative process. The very fact that all the bills, as far as I can tell, the very fact that all the bills before you today make exemptions for cell phones to summon medical and other emergency help recognizes the tremendous benefit that cell phones offer to make our highways safer, not more dangerous. And in response, and I feel also for the crash that you heard about at the beginning, where apparently an inattentive driver using a cell phone almost killed someone. But in the Oregonian today, coincidentally, is an editorial that says, saving lives on the highways. It's about funding for the state police, but it makes the point that a week ago, as you probably read, a lady in Florence, Oregon was saved. She ran off the road, And she was saved because her cell phone company was able to triangulate and figure out a 3-mile radius of where she probably went off the road or where she probably was located. And the state police were able to find her and save her life. So that's just one example of the benefits of this technology. I think that regulating behavior also, you have to consider that regulating behavior also tends to shift the behavior of the people that you're regulating. Some behavioral scientists speculate, for example, that seatbelt laws cause some drivers to take other risks. In other words, they shift their risk behavior. When you assume that you're safer because you're buckled in, you may drive faster or you may drive more recklessly to compensate. It's a phenomenon that behavioral scientists are well aware of. And so people who may be safer because they're buckled in as drivers may cause more danger to pedestrians. They may cause more danger to backseat passengers who are not required to be buckled in. They may cause more property damage if they're involved in more crashes. And the fact that those risks are shifted, you'll never see any data that blames that additional damage on the seatbelt laws. And I think the same thing will happen if you ban certain forms of cell phone or mobile communication use. You will see some kind of risk change in behavior. You won't be able to identify that it came from the cell phone ban, and so therefore you won't be able to identify the damage that is potentially done by one of these laws. It's impossible, and I think you all agree, to legislate a totally risk-free society. All new technologies come with risks, and they all come generally with rewards. The biggest killer on our highways is not the cell phone, but it's the automobile itself. I mean, I think we'd all, it's vehicle crashes that kill people, and yet they kill several hundred Oregonians a year, but I don't think anyone seriously is talking about banning automobiles because, on balance, there's a tremendous benefit in terms of time saving, in terms of flexibility, all the other uses that we have for our automobiles, and so we accept that risk in society, just like we accept the risk of just about every other technology that we've invented since the caveman era. So I think a better way to approach the risks of cell phones, as well as other risky behaviors while driving, as Representative Smith pointed out, is to enforce, or maybe change, the laws against dangerous driving, risky driving, inattentive driving, so that when people are swerving between lanes, when they're tailgating, so that maybe if they cause an accident while they're using a cell phone, maybe the judge could take that into account instead of saying, well, it's not a criminal behavior, so it wasn't criminal negligence. Those sort of approaches, I think, would be more productive. So in conclusion, I would just say that criminalizing one more behavior threatens to erode our personal liberties with little benefit to offset it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Question?
Just one question for Mr. Buxton. Is there any indication from the other states, and I probably should ask this of Troy Costales, who is here, is there any indication that by banning cell phone use, by banning handheld devices, that there is a direct cause-benefit relation between the reduction in those accidents, do we know?
Chair Beyer, Representative Butler, I don't have it with me, but I think I have seen some data that indicates if you ban cell phones, you may see a reduction specifically in accidents because of that. But again, you'll see other things that you can't correlate. For example, a year ago, Virginia Tech and the National Transportation Highway Traffic Safety Administration released a major study where they followed a number of cars with video devices, with sensors, et cetera, for a full year. And what they found was that cell phone use apparently did increase the chance of accidents by 1.3 times. But in the same research, they found that reaching for a moving object, say a cup that was falling in your car, cell phones increased the risk by 1.3. That dropping object increased the risk of an accident by 9 times. So, in terms of what other risks there are in a car, I don't think it's a good public policy to single out cell phones.
I'm sure had they been following me as I was turning around to try and whop one of my kids in the back seat, they probably would have said it's gone up 20 times, not just 9 times.
Don't make me
stop fighting back there.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Brian Burke. I live in Oregon City. Madam Chairman Beyer, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to come before you and testify. I'm here to lend my support to House Bill 3189. A little bit about my background. I'm a paramedic firefighter for Clackamas Fire District 1, and I also serve on the Clackamas County Traffic Safety Commission, so I have a great interest in traffic safety. I believe that the current graduated driver's license we have in the state of Oregon is great and has reduced and made our teenage drivers safer. But I believe we need to expand this law a little bit further and protect the teenagers as they're learning to drive. There's no law currently that states that they can't, while they can't have friends in their car for the first 6 months, there's no law stating that they can't hold the cell phone to their ear and start talking to them, the same teenagers that we're trying to keep out of their car. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, they say about 39% of the beginner's driver's crashes involve running off the road. Another 31% of beginner driver's crashes is to running in the back of vehicles. The major cause for this is not only speeding, but inattentiveness. So they're either paying attention to other drivers, talking on cell phones, or just not paying attention in general, looking at the radio. I believe House Bill 3189 is a step in the right direction. Costala said that the National Transportation Safety Board added this to their list of most wanted items, and I believe I looked on there last night. I think there was only 8 of items under highway safety that they recommend for states was to add limiting teenage cell phone use. There are other states currently have this, such as Illinois, Maine, Colorado. California is adopting a measure that goes in effect in 2008, and they have various rules that are related to this. I believe that my hope for this is to obviously prevent injury and death from teenagers. I have seen the results of in my line of work where teenagers get in crashes, and fortunately most of the time it's minor injuries and fender benders from them not paying attention, but occasionally we do lose teenagers, and it's very tragic every time it happens. The National Highway Safety Council found that in 2003 the average economic cost of a death due to a motor vehicle crash was $1.1 million, injury crashes over $10,000, and property damage $8,000. Distracted drivers, we've talked about, there is more than just cell phones, but I believe cell phones is a important part that we can maybe take care of today. So I thank you for consideration of this bill, and I ask you to support this bill and pass it. I also want to thank Representative Scott for introducing this bill for me. I believe our state would be applauded nationally by all national transportation safety advocates if we were to pass a bill similar to this.
Thank you. Any questions? I guess we're all questioned out.
Thank you.
That is all I have signed up. One last call. Seeing none, I am going to go ahead and close the public hearings on House Bills 2872, 2873, 3189, and 2482. And thank you all for coming.